Lord, it's so good to worship you. Lord, it's so good to be here in your house, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you, Lord God. For us to come together and gather in one voice, Lord God, to give praise to your name because you are worthy of praise, Lord God. Lord, because you offer us amazing grace. Lord, what a powerful word, Lord God. And I pray that, Lord, we will not ever forget the price you paid for us, Lord God. Lord, it's an honor to come and to preach your word, Lord God. I pray that you would speak through me, that your Holy Spirit that has already prepared us, Lord God, prepared me and everyone here, Lord God, to hear the message you have for us. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here. Lord, we give you this service. We give you our lives, Lord God, and help us to surrender to you in all things, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you here at Crossline Church. My name is Greg Monk, and I'm the executive pastor here at the church. And it's such an honor for me when they give me an opportunity to come and speak before you. I want to thank everyone that's on Facebook Live right now out there in the internet world. And I just, it's such a privilege to step in the footsteps of Pastor JP and Pastor Kenny. We have two of the best communicators in the country here at our church. And I think we need to give up for that because that's the truth. You know, I love cheesecake, but when you eat cheesecake every day, it doesn't taste as good as it did that first time you haven't had it in a long time. So we get the opportunity to hear Pastor JP and Pastor Kenny all the time. They go and speak at conferences all over the country, at retreats. And when they go and speak, people are, the Holy Spirit speaks through them in a powerful way and people are floored. They're like, oh, why don't you come to my church and preach? And we get to have them every week. So to be here, stepping in those big shoes of Pastor JP is very humbling. And so you have to excuse my excitement. I'm not yelling at you. I really am not. I just get excited and I speak loud. And so I just want to apologize now. And I'm a little, you know, I don't get to do this all the time. So it's like riding a bike. I'm a little rusty. So, but God has placed on my heart a message. He has etched out in pain and in love and in gratitude, Psalm 41 through 5. It is my life verse. It is my favorite verse in scripture. It is the verse that I look at and go, oh my gosh, that's my story. It's everything. But I get to share that with you today and unpack that. And we're going to focus on Psalm 40, 1 through 5. And there's 5 points to my message, just like there's 5 verses we're going to go over. So it's really simple today, really focused. And at the end of it, I really want us to surrender to God, those who know him and those that are here that don't. Really surrender our lives. I don't want it just to be another Sunday. I want it to be a service where we leave here changed, different. I've been praying for this day. I've been praying for you that are going to be here. I've been praying for those that will listen online. I'm praying that God, this is a marker in some of your lives to say, I'm going to be different from this day forward. Just as God did that for me over 29 years ago. And I'll get to that, but let's read Psalm 41 through 5. And it's up on the screen. I have font 18, but it's obviously not big enough. So here we go. Man, that really went in 1 year, it really went down, I gotta say. Psalm 41 through 5 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you plan for us, none can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there'd be too many to declare. This passage is my life. And the first point that I want to step right into is that God hears your cry. God hears your cry. It said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. Now, I'm not very patient. And I don't think I'm very patient when it comes to my prayers with the Lord. I think I want them now. But as I look back at my life, as I look back at what God has done in my life, I see that he answers his prayers in his time. And I have learned patience through that. So God has taught me patience. I don't know if I waited patiently so much, but he did. But he turned to me and he heard my cry. I remember crying out to God on many occasions. Many. As a boy, I remember seeing my dad beaten from head to toe, lying in blood-soaked sheets, and just crying out to God to heal him. I remember crying out to God as I watched my father taken to jail and being blamed, and me being blamed for letting the marshals in the door. I remember after my first fight with my dad, so he would not drive drunk, crying out to God. I remember at 16, after my sin had caught up with me and I wanted to die, I remember crying out to God. As a young Marine, sitting in my car with Kimberly before being shipped off to Kuwait in the first Gulf War, I remember sitting there and she would drive down every day for a week. And I would just cry out to God that I would come home. I would cry out to God that I could live. And that we would pray because I had gotten saved. And it was just such a powerful prayer of hope. And I didn't say this last time, but I got to tell you. So we prayed the whole week. She would come down. I was in San Diego. She'd drive from Fountain Valley to San Diego every night. And then she'd go back and we'd just cry and pray and weep. And then it was time to go, the day to go. And I got on the ship and she had to go. I was late getting to I was late going to war, Greg. Really good. I was late getting to the ship. And if those who know me, it's not a surprise. So, I was late getting to the ship and we had to say goodbye quickly. And I was standing when the ships leave San Diego Harbor, you surround the ship, all the sailors, all the Marines, we stand on the edge of the ship. And I remember standing there and then Kimberly was down on the deck. And I remember the peace of God that came over me. And I can't say how or why, but I knew I would come home. I knew at that moment, and that all that fear and all that uncertainty that we had those days before where we were wrecks, there was a peace that came over me, and I attribute that to God. That just came to my mind, and I had to tell you that. On the battlefield, watching my brothers being broken around me, as a married man with a pregnant wife, I remember when Kimberly was pregnant with our first child. We had five children, five beautiful children. And at that time, Life magazine published an article about servicemen who were taking a NAP drug. It was a nerve, anti-nerve agent drug that we would take. We would take that drug in order, in case nerve agent would be activated, a bomb would go off in nerve agent, that it would lessen the effects of the nerve agent on you. So we were taking this drug called NAP. And the article went on to say that mixed with an insecticide caused a radioactive reaction in the testes of males and was causing children to be born without arms and legs and without limbs. And then here's this Life article. We just are pregnant. I was still in the Marine Corps. No, I wasn't. I wasn't in the Marine Corps, but I was a young married. And here we have kids. I remember us crying out to God before that first ultrasound. Man. And he did have 10 toes and 10 fingers. So that was great. And praise God for that. But I remember crying out to God in that. Are you in distress? Are you in distress right now? The world is in distress. We just have to look back just these past few weeks to see the horror and the evil that's out there in Dayton, Ohio, in El Paso, Texas, right here in Gilroy. And many other countless the mass shootings that happen when someone of pure evil chooses to take that route and kill innocent life. The murder rate in cities across the country is huge. The loneliness that is out there, the emptiness, the people have no hope. So they turn to drugs and alcohol, and the opioid crisis is huge. And suicide rate is on the rise. You know, it's the world is in distress. People are crying. They're hurting, but they don't have an answer. The world doesn't have an answer. They got nothing for it. And we try to do it ourselves. And how's that working out for you? How is doing it yourself working out for you? It causes pain and destruction, and it's evident in our world today. The world is in distress. There's no hope without God. Without God, men and women become wicked and evil, and they do horrible things. Jesus himself prayed and cried out to God. Hebrews 5:7 says this. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because his deep reverence for God. This is Jesus himself. Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was going to be crucified, he's praying in the garden, and the scripture says that blood was coming from his tears and his sweat out of him. And he was saying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Is there any other way, God? Is there any other way for me to redeem the sins of mankind, past, present, and future? Is there any other way? Because it's going to hurt, God. It's going to be painful. And he prayed that prayer. God hears your cry. I have always loved C.S. Lewis. He's a great apologist. What an apologist is, a defender of the faith, somebody who speaks truth, somebody who gives evidence of God's creation and existence. That's what an apologist is. And I love apologetic teachers. But C.S. Lewis cried out to God on many occasions. He lost his mother at an early age. He saw his dad emotionally abandon him. He suffered from a respiratory illness as a teenager. He fought and was wounded in World War I, and finally had to bury his beloved wife. Through all of this, Lewis penned one of the most famous lines he ever wrote, and it's this. It's going to be on the screen. Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And it's so true. I see the reality of Lewis's statement clearly in my own life. God has shouted at me through my pain and reminded me of his truth. As the injustice of a drug-addicted, alcoholic, and jailbird father crushed my heart and trust, God showed me that it is only his words that bring life. It is his words that bring life. It was in my brokenness that I saw God's true strength as he carried me along. That famous footprints poem or picture of, you know, look at God, there's two sets of footprints. We're walking together, but then there's only one set. And why did you abandon me? And God says, I didn't abandon you. I was carrying you. And it's so true. And it's so true. It was seeing my shattered identity as the son of total dysfunction that I could see the beauty of being the son of God. Let me share that. It was seeing my shattered identity as the son of total dysfunction that I could even see the beauty of being a son of God. So I don't wish that my past would change. People ask me, Greg, what would you change in your life? Nothing. And I can't believe I can say that, because there were some bad things that happened, but it made me who I am. It made me the character I have. And I think about I was actually watching this story of the people that started Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was watching, and one day this thought hit me. It's like, man, my five kids got it easy. You know, maybe I should mess up a little bit and be a deadbeat dad so they can have, you know, some character, you know? I wouldn't do that. But, you know, these crazy thoughts go in my mind. Maybe it's just me. But I just think about, God, my kids have I'm really, really connected with our kids. My wife and I, and we have a great relationship with them. And all the stuff that happened to me, it built my character. It really built me up, and it really made me who I am. And I wouldn't change that story, because now God took my worst and he uses it for his best. And that's awesome. And it's exciting about that. My struggles and pain no longer would define me after I surrendered to God. So many people I meet, everyone's defined about an event that happened in their life or something that they're going through. And that doesn't define who we are. Your job may change, your bank accounts may change, and your health may change, but those don't define who you are. God does. God defines who you are. And what does he say about you? He says he loves you. He says, you're my child. Come to me. Come and lean on me. Come rest on me. But we don't, because the world has clouded us with all this junk that is this farce. It's this lie that it could sustain us and it could help us, but it doesn't. God used my hurt so that he could clearly write the lessons of his grace on my heart and set my affections on him. The first point is that God hears your cry. He does. He does hear your cry. It might not feel like it. You might be in total distress and agony right now. But God hears your cry. He does. You're not alone. The second point is this. So God hears your cry. And the second point is that God lifts you up. God lifts you up. He says this in that second verse. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. Man, I love that. The sins of the Father were passed on to me. I was starting to drown in my own sin, my own mistakes and failures, trying to fill the hole in my heart with everything the world had to offer. And what is sin? Sin is anything that separates you from God. That's what sin is. Sin is anything that separates you from God. I was drowning in my own sin and I needed to surrender to him. Has your sin brought you to a place where you cannot lift yourself out of it? Has your sin brought you to a place where you can't lift yourself out of it? You're just, it's that sinking mud, you know? You're in a mud pit and you just can't get out, and everything you try to do, you just get even more dirty, even more muddy, and you're sinking further. Maybe you're a believer who feels unworthy because of a sin you keep stepping into and feel so ashamed for asking for help, for forgiveness so many times. It's just a habitual sin. You keep doing, Lord, help me, and I won't do it again, and you fall. Lord, help me, don't do it again, and you fall. And then the enemy uses that to say, oh, look at you. You call yourself a Christian. Come on. Then we wind up straying away from the Lord and not walking with him. And God doesn't want that. God loves you. God is the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and 100 chances. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. Where would any of us be? Where would any of us be? My gosh, if it wasn't for God's forgiveness on our lives. Man, I'm so thankful to God. Embrace who you are as a child of God. Stop sticking your hand in the mud. And God has lifted me up, and those that believe, God's lifted you up. He set you on the rock, and we don't have to sin anymore. It's our choice to sin. And then we find ourselves bending down and sticking our hand in the mud. And we step into sin. Stop stepping into the mud. Live on the foundation of God. Live in this righteousness, even though it's comfortable. I know it's a lot easier to live in that defeat of I'm a failure and that I won't match up and that I'm disgusting. And then God says he loves us and we say yes to God. And then we're in this righteousness and this new body and it's not comfortable and it's these new jeans, these new clothes. And it's like, I'm better. Call me. I can accept this better. I'm not good. I'm not acceptable. But no, you are. You're on the rock of Jesus. You are acceptable. God loves you. So we need to live in that victory. We need to live in that. Stop living in a defeat of sin, saying to yourself and others, oh, I'm just a sinner. Poor me. This Eeyore theology. Live in the salvation and victory of Jesus Christ. I will talk more about that in a moment. And today I will give you an opportunity to get right with God so you can step into your eternal destiny. God has a destiny for you. He has a plan for you, and he wants you to step into it. You know, the live-action movie Lion King came out, and I saw it. I love that. Lion King was a great cartoon, and the live-action came out, and we went and saw it, and it's so awesome. But, you know, it was amazing. One of our first men's retreats, Pastor Kenny Luck came and spoke at our men's retreat here at Crossline, and he gives this great parallel between the Lion King and us as children of God. And I want to share it with you. It's powerful. It's powerful. So Simba is a lion club. Simba is a lion cub, right? He is the son of the king. He has a clear bloodline, a clear connection to a clear destiny. He has a clear bloodline, a clear connection to a clear destiny. Everyone here are sons and daughters of the King Most High. You have a clear bloodline, a clear connection to a clear destiny. He has a plan for you. Simba panics and runs literally from his identity. responsibility and destiny into a world that takes the pressure off. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. Everybody, it's all problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. Now you know why I don't sing on the worship team. My voice blesses the Lord and the Lord alone. So I get that. But I still worship like I got a voice that blesses everybody. But Hakuna Matata, we all know that song. We've heard that. Man, how's that working out for you? Living in a world where you can just do whatever you want. Probably not very well. How does that translate to us? Despair strikes us, or we're young and we think we know it all. We think we know better. We become impatient. We panic and we run from our godly identity, responsibility, and destiny into a world that says, put the past behind you. And when people turn their backs on you, you turn your back on them. And if it feels good, do it. That's a total lie and unsustainable. Love the movie, but that's a total lie. Doesn't work. It leads to destruction. But just like when Rafiki told Simba, you're Mufasa's boy. The Holy Spirit is telling you, you're sons and daughters of God Most High. You're God's boy. You're God's girl. God loves you. He's there. He has a destiny for you. Come back to the pride land and live that out. Get away from this Hakuna Matata. It doesn't work. Just like Simba, some of us are out of place, not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Like Rafiki, for some of us, it takes a grabbing by the ear, a kick in our spiritual backside, and a confrontation of your true identity. Why are you here? What are you doing? Have you forgotten who you are? The Spirit of God knows who you are. I know who you are. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Stop filling the God-shaped hole in your heart with everything the world has to offer. And surrender to Him. Once and for all, just get it done. Enough excuses. We can always make excuses. The world is a lie of pain and suffering. Out-of-place children of God are being chased down, and the Holy Spirit is saying, I know who you really are. The kingdom calls. Lives are at stake. Evil must be confronted, and you are the ones who are going to do it. God is calling you. God is going to use you. It is us with all the pain and despair in the world. Who is there to help that? God's people. God working through and in you. God's loving embrace of a friend going through a pain, a prayer. Just sitting next to him and crying and weeping with him. Whatever it may be. Sharing a verse, calling them out, those that are believers in love, in love. Do you want to get out of the mud and mire? Are you stuck in it? Do you want to get out of it? Do you want to be set on the rock and have a firm place to stand? It is when our self-sufficiency is peeled away that we see how weak we really are. Hey, there is no John Wayne Christians. You can't do it on your own. That's a lie. We need each other. We need to be in fellowship with each other. We need to come around other brothers and sisters and be encouraged. We cannot do it alone. Let your pride and your ego down. Surrender to God, and He will make your path straight. Matthew 7, 24 through 27, it says this. Such a great passage. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. With all the pain in the world, I can't imagine not being on the rock of Jesus Christ. What these eyes have seen in war, watching people I loved and prayed for die, the sickness, the brokenness. There's more to all of this, and God offers hope. There's people here in our congregation that are hurting. They have relational brokenness. They have financial issues. They're sick. They're dying. People have died. And we as a body are here to come alongside them and offer hope. God is here and offers hope, true hope, real hope, not fleeting, not temporary, not just what the world offers, because what the world offers is temporary. There is more to all this. God offers hope in the darkness. God offers hope in the darkness. In Colossians 1:13, it says this: "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I lived in darkness. I don't want any part of that. I'm gonna run as far as I can away from that, but it's amazing, even though I hate it and I know the impact on my life, how it draws me in. It's so appealing at times. It's so enticing. But Jeremiah, it's 29:11 says this, Jeremiah 29:11. It says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." A hope and a future. The world doesn't offer any of those things, a hope and a future. It can offer you prosperity, but usually at a cost. What's the cost are you willing to give up? God provides hope and a future. If you want hope, if you want a future, surrender your life to God. I did it. It's really cool. You can do it too. God's changed my life in a bold and amazing way. And I'm just shocked that I'm here up here with you. I'm that guy. Greg, you're a pastor? Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, God is good. God is good. Amen, brother. So the world doesn't offer any of those things. God hears your cry. God lifts you up. And the third point is God gives you a new song. Ooh, I like this one. God gives you a new song. It says in verse 3, "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." When the fear of death from heading over to Operation Storm, Desert Storm brought me to Christ, it was the fear of death that did that. And I started searching because I was getting ready to go, and my brother invited me to the First Harvest Crusade, and I went with Kimberly, and it was 5 nights at the Pacific Amphitheater, and every night I would hear it and hear the message, and I'd see people come forward, and then I would go home and say, it's not for me. What about all the starving people in Africa? What about all the despair and the pain? What about all the suffering? And every night I had an excuse why I didn't say yes to God. And then on that last night, I made the greatest decision of my life. I surrendered my life and decided to stop living for myself and start living for God. At that moment, God put a new song in my heart. He activated that part of my code and my DNA to worship him. The song that's in your heart celebrates what you consider worthy of celebration. The song in your heart celebrates what you consider worthy of celebration. It's like your money's where your mouth is, that kind of expression. You sing about what's in your heart. God has placed the song in your heart. God has wired us to love music. Think right now of all of the songs and lyrics you know that glorify everything but God. There's a lot of them. It's embarrassing what the songs we know, isn't it? It's okay. You guys all know worship songs, know secular songs? No, it's crazy the amount of songs we can memorize, huh? Amazing the song when a tune comes on, that the words that you memorize, like hearing the music, the music that's out there in the world, man. It speaks of everything but God. There's some great, we're wired to love music. And I love music. And I listen to other music besides worship songs. So God loves us but he wants us to sing a song to him if we haven't. I remember the first time I went to church and I really liked the music. That's what I liked. I was, that's pretty cool, the music. And it was the music that helped me connect and be open to God. And that's why we do worship here. You can't do one without the other. They're combined. We need to worship God. It allows the Holy Spirit to activate us and move in us. Revelation 4:11 says this. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Everything is created for him. You know what? God expects us to worship him as an expression of our reverence and thanksgiving to him. Go ahead and listen to your Bob Dylan and all that. Or for your new generation, their Post Malone, you know. Listen to all that, but worship God. Worship him. Make space for God. Submit yourself to him. Allow his words and his worship of him change you and mold you into what he wants you to be. But God also expects us to be obedient to him. He wants not only for us to love him, he wants us to act justly toward each other, to show love and compassion to others. In Romans 12:1, it says this. It says, in this way, we present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. This glorifies God and is our reasonable act of service. When we worship with obedient heart and an open and repentant spirit, God is glorified, Christians are purified, the church is edified, and the lost are evangelized. When we worship God with reckless abandon, we become part of making the second part of Psalm 43 come alive. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. It's that action. When we worship God, we allow people to come in to worship themselves. In the same way, in Matthew 5:16, it says this. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's such a great passage. Many people say to me, I love the way you worship, Greg. And you know what? It's out of complete gratefulness to God that I worship. That's it. Complete and utter gratefulness. And I have to sit in the front because I don't want to be distracted by other people. Because when I'm worshiping in the back and there's other people in front of me, I might take the tone of what they're doing and not just fully engage in God, or I'll close my eyes and just worship. I'm not saying that to boast or anything. I'm saying it because the reason I worship like that is because God has forgiven me of much. And since God has forgiven me of much, I love much and I'm grateful to him. And I want us to be a church body that's grateful. Grateful to be alive. Grateful to be here. And so that's why we sing praises. Not because the other guy next to us is looking at us funny. We're just singing because we love God. And that's what we need to do. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. It says that line because he'll do that because of our praise. We need to praise the Lord, people. We need to praise the Lord every chance we get. That's what this is saying. He put a new song in our mouths. We need to praise him. I find it fascinating that people have a hard time worshiping God, the creator of the universe. I find it fascinating to me. It's crazy. There's fans of teams, right? Fans of celebrities, fans of musicians, fans of so many things, right? We have these fans in the world and we get tattoos of them. We know every statistic about a sporting event or that person, what their batting average was, whatever it is, whatever, how many goals they scored, whatever it is, we know so much. We know so much about this human being, this man or woman. And God doesn't want us to worship that. He wants us to worship him. And it's so easy for us to fall into it. You know, my favorite football team is the Cleveland Browns. And so they have a fan pit they call the Dog Pound. And it's the Dog Pound where all the crazy fans go. And every school's got it. Every college campus just go on a Sunday, you know, watch Saturday morning or Sunday. It could be winter and there are guys in Speedos and paint and they got all this stuff going on. It's crazy what fans will do to celebrate their team. And what are they doing? They're throwing a ball around a field and we go crazy. But yet we come to church and we put our hands in our pocket and I'm not going to sing. No, that's not for me. And we're not going to sing to the Lord because we're worried about what? What someone thinks, but we'll go wear a Speedo and paint our bodies for a game? Come on! Am I wrong here? Do I have the wrong perspective? It's crazy to me. It's just not, I mean, gosh, here's the creator of the universe. Here's a guy who throws a ball around a field. Here's a guy who spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. Here's a person who sings a cool song and does a lot of drugs. Yeah, here's God Almighty who breathed in life into this earth and gave us an opportunity to have salvation. And I'm gonna really care, put a tattoo, Spider-Man, on my wrist. Not that it's bad. I'm not saying we can't have fans. I love football. I'm not saying we can't like movies and stars and music. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is it's more important for us to worship God. We gotta be doing that. We gotta be worshiping the Lord. We gotta have dog pound worship here at Crossline. Dog pound worship, that's what I want. But seriously, isn't he worthy of our praise? Yes, he's worthy of our praise, so let's sing. Well, how about that? Let's sing to him then. If he's worthy of our praise, then let's sing. Let's not just sit and be quiet and think we're afraid because we're gonna look stupid. Sing to God. Sing and worship him boldly. And please do not wear a Speedo or paint your body. Don't want that. Just how about just open your mouth and sing a little bit. That's it, just a little bit. Give it a try. See what God does. You know what God will do? He'll open up your heart. He'll prepare you for what God's word is gonna be spoken. That's what worship is. It prepares us, it gets us ready. It allows the Holy Spirit to enter in. And that's what I wanna say. I want us to have dog pound worship. I want us to be a church that worships God boldly. We need to have dog pound faith, dog pound worship. Stop worrying about what people think and let's start worrying about what God thinks. I want you to do me a favor to close point number three of God gives you a new song. I want everyone to sing with me. Scary. I want every single person in here to sing. Those who love Jesus, those who are seeking, those who don't even believe in God, I want you to sing. Help me sing part of the greatest and most popular worship song on the planet. I have a voice that only blesses God. You've already heard it. So if I can sing, you can sing too. And we're gonna do it a cappella. And you already heard it during the offering song part of it. We're just gonna do one verse. That top verse is gonna be on the screen. Will you guys sing it with me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Everyone, that saved a wretch. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You just blessed me. So thank you. Thank you for opening up a hymn of praise to God because you bless me. And you know what you do also when you do that? You bless others around you. You bless people who come off the street that have lost a loved one. People who come off the street that are in pain. People who come off the street who have no money. People who come to the street with no hope that don't believe in God and think they're gonna go take their lives after the service or later in the week, whatever it is. We offer a song of praise and it helps people come into the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? So let's worship the Lord. Amen? Yes. Amen. Can we worship like our lives depend on it, please? We're gonna have an opportunity at the end of service. And I'm gonna say now, I don't want anybody to leave. I want us to worship the Lord. Even if you don't like worshiping, I want you to worship the Lord with us towards the end of the service. God hears your cry. God lifts you up. God gives you a new song. God blesses the believer. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Self-sufficiency only gets us so far. We exhaust all effort before we seek help. It's amazing that even now as a believer, how we will, at times when an issue will come up, a problem, and I'll exhaust everything, every human thing possible. And then when I'm at my rope's end, when I've done all I could, then finally it's like, oh God, yes, God, can you help me? And God doesn't want that relationship. For the believer or the non-believer, he wants you to turn towards him and he wants to come and help you. God blesses the believer. We exhaust all effort before we seek help from God. And I invite you not to do that. Remember this. It is when our self-sufficiency is peeled away that we see how weak we really are. We can't do it on our own. Let your pride and your ego down. Surrender to God and he will make your path straight. Don't look to the proud, to false gods in the world for blessings. They have no hope to offer you. Besides all the crazy things the world believes in, it's amazing what the world will believe in. There's the church of Kurt Cobain, where the guy, the famous rock star killed himself, and there's a church about with him. Like, and then all the cults that you see, there's a people that worship an orange under the bridge of San Francisco, and there's these crazy things that people will believe in. And God is saying here, believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the bottom but through me. And we're spending all this time listening to men and women who are not the truth. And here's what Jesus says about this himself. In John 5:43, he says this, I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. What's up with that? Why is it so easy for us as humans to believe a lie and not just believe the one that God sent? We are wired to believe in God. We have it in our DNA. And we're gonna believe in something, like Bob Dylan says, you're gonna serve somebody, right? To either the Lord or to either the devil, you're gonna serve somebody. And there's so many, many different things we can get caught up into. Don't get caught up in the false gods, identities, and idols. Don't do that. It says that in this passage. And there's so many of them. We can look at, you know, beauty is a false god. Comfort is, obviously substances are. There's some things that are bad, that are obviously bad, that are a false god, that take us away from living a good life and a godly life. Substance abuse is one of those. But there's also things like religion. Because it's not about religion, it's about relationship. When we're so focused on the T's and C's that we can't see the grace of God or the love of God, and we're legalistic and judgmental, that's not what God wants for us. It is the same voice. We can't just be all emotion and happy. We got to know God's word. It needs to be on our heart. We have to share God's love to the world. We need to know it. But it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. We don't need to do the false god of sex or money or self. Some of you need to surrender right now today. In a moment, I'm gonna give you that opportunity. But before we do that, I want you to check out this clip from Bruce Almighty.
Bully, Bruce, Conway. A woman does pray a lot. Find grace in Bruce. Dear God, please help Bruce find himself, find contentment, find you. Dear God, please help Bruce. He seems to be struggling. Dear God, give Bruce strength. Dear God, bless Bruce. Bruce, Bruce, Bruce. It's her. Sandy, it's her. She's logging on. She's praying right now.
I love that clip. You know, if you've seen the movie, you know he gets hit by a truck. goes to heaven and he has a conversation with God, and God sends him back to earth, and he lives a life that is unselfish, because before that, the whole movie is his narcissistic ways, his selfish ways of living it out. That's what it's about. And then he turns from that, and he finally, in that moment, you see watching his girlfriend that he loves, that he needs to surrender his life to God. It's not about him. It's about living for others. It's about living for God in our context. What does God have to do to get your attention? What does God have to do to get your attention? A whole host of stories go through my mind, but I don't have time to tell you of what I've seen where men have been brought to their wit's end and finally surrendered to God. What will it take for you to surrender today? Matthew 6:33, it says this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And then Proverbs 3:5-6, it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight." We live in a world where God has created a beautiful world, but there's something that separates us from God, and that's sin. And God is holy and man is unholy, and we cannot come into a presence of God. It's an abyss of sin and pain. It's like having a contest of who can jump the highest to the moon. One of us will jump higher on this earth. We had a contest around the world. There'd be one human that jumps higher than the earth. What is it? 9, 10 feet? Maybe, who knows what it is? Maybe it's higher than that. But did he get to the moon? No, he didn't hit the moon. He lost the contest. He may have jumped high, but he didn't get to the moon. It's the same way, we can't get to God on any other path but through the path of Jesus Christ. He is the bridge to God. An unholy people, an unholy Greg Monk, surrendering and saying yes to a holy God. He was the bridge and he changed my life because of it. And it's been awesome, and he wants to change your life. God hears your cry. If you are ready to be pulled from the slimy pit and turn from your sins and believe in Jesus Christ so that you can receive the forgiveness of sin like I did and the hope of eternal life, then take a moment right now and repeat this prayer after me to him. I want everybody to bow their heads right now. And I want all of us to repeat these words. Let's all just say these words together. Repeat after me. God, I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it right now. I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sin. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. Thank you for forgiving and receiving me right now. Thank you that my sin is forgiven, that I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, God is rejoicing. The heavens are rejoicing, and I'm rejoicing if you prayed that prayer from your heart, if you surrendered finally to the Lord. And I'm gonna give you an opportunity to respond here in a little bit. All of us, I'm gonna give everyone an opportunity to respond to this message. God hears your cry. God lifts you up. God gives you a new song, and God blesses the believer. God also does wonders for you. God does wonders for you. And this is the fifth and final part of that Psalm 41 through 5. It says this, "Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there'd be too many to declare." From that moment, I said yes to Jesus at the Harvest Crusade. I have seen one continuous miracle after another. My family has all come to Christ. I married. I got to come home from the war. Mary, my sweetheart, my love, and I thank God for that. I got to see the birth of 5 amazing kids. He gave me success in business, and then he called me to full-time ministry. He called me broken, a piece of trash, Greg. and he raised me up. And he gave me a firm foundation to stand on, and it's changed my life. And no one can ever take that away from me. Nobody. No one can take it away because God has changed my life. It's not just a bunch of stories. It's not a cult. It's not Spaghetti Monster. It's the living God who loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. So step into it. Step into it. Embrace it. It's not been easy. Everything's not roses. Just because you become a believer, you still have problems and issues and things you have to work through. But God is my hope. And I want God to be your hope too. God wants to work wonders in you. He makes us just like Christ. He's molding us into who he wants to be. And Max Lucado says it best. And when you're on the anvil of God being pounded and molded, it sometimes doesn't feel good. But God is molding and shaping you. What's the alternative? Passivity? A life that doesn't impact the enemy at all? A life that's not for God? I don't want that. I want to be on the front lines. I don't want to be the target of the enemy, but I know I am. And the enemy wants to take me down, wants to take my family down. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to see who he can devour. And we see the people he devours. When he infects a mind to do a mass shooting, he's devoured that person. And we need to stop that, and we need to be the soldiers that give the hope to the world. God is calling you. God is calling us to be that. He makes us like Christ more and more. He changes our character. He takes our worst and uses it for his best, for his glory. Just look at my life. He works wonders through you. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen. In Ephesians 3:20, it says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." He can't lift you out of the pit. He can't put a new song in your mouth. He can't do wonders in you unless you surrender to him. We need to surrender our lives to him. And I pray for those that did that today. And I pray that for those that already have. So now you know why Psalm 41-5 is my life verse and my favorite song. Isn't it a good song? It's powerful. Thank you, Lord, for this song. Thank you, David, for writing it. David, a man broken in sin and crying out to God. Can we all stand right now? Do me a favor, stand. I'm gonna ask you not to leave. I want us to read Psalm 41-5 together. Guys, and after that, please listen to this. I want to open this front up as an altar for everyone to come and worship God. You can come and sit down. You can kneel before the Lord. You can come and worship. You can come and pray. You can come if you said yes to Jesus today, or if you said yes 20 years ago, or if you just want to come before the Lord with your burdens. This place up front is a place for you to do business with God, and we're going to open it up. And I want everyone during that time of worship, if you want to come down and you want to do business with God, God's spoken to you through this message in any way, I want you to come down. I want you to worship, pray, kneel, do whatever you need to do before the Lord here at this altar. Well, let's read Psalm 41-5 together. Would you read it with me? "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you plan for us, none can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they'd be too many to declare." God hears your cry. God lifts you up. God gives you a new song, and God blesses the believer, and God does wonders in your life. Now, my favorite part, let's practice singing the new song God has put on our hearts. Let's worship with reckless abandon. Let's worship with dog pound faith. And as we worship, this altar is open to you. Anyone can come down. Anyone can come and seek prayer to God. Pastor Kenny and myself, if you want us to pray for you, we will. But if you want to come and do business with God during worship, please come and do business with God. Let's worship God boldly. Let's do it together.